Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Chaba Baja, and today we have a good one. Since the last time we spoke, a whole lot has been going on in the NBA, and a whole lot of not-so-good stuff going on, actually. So today's episode is all about the NBA chaos, everything that's going wrong with the teams that are struggling. As always, today we are going to have to start like what feels like we've been starting almost every episode with this season, the Lakers. The Lakers just lost tonight to the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, the Memphis Grizzlies are a good team. They have won 5 out of their last 6, and in those games, they have not had Ja Morant. But what made tonight's loss for the Lakers so bad is that not only did Memphis not have Ja Morant, they didn't have Brandon Clark, and they didn't have Dylan Brooks. So there was absolutely no reason why the Lakers should have lost that, especially considering they had Russell Westbrook, they had LeBron, they had Anthony Davis, they had their whole big three, and you know, their whole team is pretty much there tonight. So why did the Lakers lose? Well, basically because the Lakers have to be probably the most unstable team in the NBA. Now, their last game before this one, they beat the Boston Celtics. They did beat them comfortably. And after that game, everyone was excited, saying that the Lakers are back, that that was the game that was going to change everything and get them on the right track. Nope. The Lakers are once again back to 500. They have a record of 13-13. Okay. So the Lakers' big three, Russ did not have a good game. But I mean, Anthony Davis, he had 22 points, 8 rebounds. He shot 50% from the field. He did make a 3-pointer out of 4. And then LeBron, he had 20 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, shot 7 of 15 from the field, only 1 of 6 from 3. He has not been doing so hot from 3 lately. But Bron, with that triple-double, he actually joined the 100 triple-double club. Russell Westbrook, like I said, did not have a good game. He had 9 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 of 9 shooting. He actually shot 66% from 3. So that's good. But like I said, he did have 6 turnovers. And, you know, here in these last about 15 games, Russ has actually been playing pretty well. His turnovers have not been so high like tonight. But again, he has had worse than tonight. But like I said, here in these last about 12 to 15 games, Russ has been playing well. You know, he's been keeping the turnovers down to around 4, which is still high. But for Russell Westbrook, I think that Lakers fans will live with that. Now, another thing, the Lakers tonight had 22 turnovers, and the Grizzlies scored 27 points off those turnovers. Okay. But I'm not really going to focus on the game against Memphis. I'm really just going to focus on the problems going on. Now, like I said, the Lakers have played 26 games. They have a 13-13 record, but the Lakers' defense is awful. They're just too old. This team is too old. And none of these guys are good defenders. I mean, Carmelo Anthony isn't a good defender. Russell Westbrook is not known for his defense. Malik Monk is not a defender. Okay, yes, they do have Anthony Davis, but he has just been so off this season. He is playing soft. He's not aggressive at all. It's not working. And LeBron, he is... Let's face it, he's facing a little bit of father time here in this season. Ever since he got that high ankle sprain last season, he just has not been healthy for long stretches. And that's evident this season. LeBron has not played more than four games in a row this season. Now, LeBron was always known as being Mr. Iron Man, doesn't get injured. But like I said, ever since that high ankle sprain last season, he has just not been able to stay consistently healthy. Trevor Ariza is still out. Nunn is also still out, but come on, Ariza and Nunn are not going to be the game changers. They are not going to turn this season around. Trevor Ariza is washed. He's been washed the last about 2 years. He'll maybe give you a good game every 20 games, but yeah, I mean, he's not the answer. Nunn, he can score, but he can be a little bit out of control. He's almost kind of like a mini Westbrook, if you think about it. Now, I don't think that he's going to commit six turnovers, but yeah, Nunn and Ariza are not the answers. Also, Russell Westbrook, this guy, Russ... like I said, he's been having a good 12 to 15 game stretch. But Russell Westbrook, he is asked to basically play off the ball when LeBron is in. The problem is LeBron, like I said, has not been able to be consistently healthy this season. So the main scheme of things is that they want Russell to play off the ball. But like I said, LeBron is... not in the game a lot of times. So Russ has to handle the ball. So there's just no consistency with their game plan. So that can be confusing. So from that standpoint, you do have to give it to Russ. You know, you got to cut him a little bit of slack. Not too much, but a little bit. Also, Anthony Davis, like I said, he needs to step it up. He has just been, it's like he's been on autopilot. You know, he is getting his 20 to 24 points. He's getting his 8 to 10 rebounds. But he's just not bringing it. You know, there's no fire. You know, Anthony Davis has the potential to be the best defender in the NBA. And he's just not that this season. He, like I said, no fire, no aggression. You know, he just doesn't look like he cares. And, you know, defense, a lot of it is hustle. And just AD is not bringing that. So that is a problem. And, you know, here this season, but especially here in these last couple games, Frank Vogel has been in the hot seat. After every game, Lakers fans are saying, fire Vogel, fire Vogel. It got to the point that Charles Barkley on NBA on TNT, he had to come out and say it, that this is not fair, this is not on Vogel, and he even said this is on Anthony Davis. Skip Bayless, Anthony Davis, Stephen A, Anthony Davis, everyone is pointing out the obvious problem, which is Anthony freaking Davis. He needs to get back into the zone. He needs to get, I don't know what he needs to get motivated, but the Lakers need to get him whatever it is that he needs, because the Lakers will not reach their potential if AD keeps playing like this. They just won't. And yeah, and look, Frank Vogel, he is obviously a defensive-minded coach. The Lakers are not a good defensive team. But like I said, this team, it's an old team. It's a bunch of geezers. How do you expect old guys like Carmelo Anthony, an aging LeBron who can't stay healthy, Russell Westbrook, who on defense looks so lost sometimes, Malik Monk, you know, these guys, they just can't keep up with these young guys, especially against a team like Memphis. These aren't a bunch of young guys. Like I said, John Moran is not in the game, was not in the game. Dylan Brooks, not in the game. Brandon Clark was not in the game. Zaire Williams was not. That's four players that were not in the game. And still, the Lakers are not able to defend. They're not able to defend. I don't think they've had a good defensive game all season long. You know, it's just not working. This team, and like I said, Frank Vogel, he is a defensive-minded coach, but this is just not a team built for defense. Now, this I will say, I do not think Frank Vogel is to blame, but I will say that coaches have to adapt, okay? They have to adapt to their players. They have to find the strengths and weaknesses in their players. And Frank Vogel right now seems to be stubborn, so he does need to change that. And he better do it quick because, yeah, he was the coach and, you know, the Lakers won a championship 2 years ago in the bubble. But this is the Lakers, man. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to just keep you because you won them a championship 2 years ago. So he really, really needs to get his ass in check and he better put the pedal to the metal because this is not working. And look, the Lakers, they need, what they need right now is a backup point guard. A perfect point guard would be Ricky Rubio, but obviously he's on the Cavs. The Cavs love having him. At first, he was not happy about being in Cleveland, but he's playing so well, I don't see him leaving. But yeah, the Lakers aren't getting Ricky Rubio, but I'm just saying Ricky Rubio is the perfect type of player that the Lakers need. Because like I said, LeBron is not able to stay healthy. Russell Westbrook just goes 0 to 100 miles an hour all game long. And like I said, this is an old team, so they can't be going 100 miles an hour. You know, they need to play half court. They need to play a half court offense. They need to slow things down. Russell Westbrook does not slow things down. So that is the type of guy that they need. So December 15th is coming, which means trade time. That's when a lot of players that right now are not eligible to be traded as of December 15th, they will be eligible. So expect some trades to come. I don't know if the Lakers are going to do it, but just expect trades to come, you know, league-wide. And also, look, the Lakers, the one thing that they need to do, in my opinion, is trade Russell Westbrook, but no one wants Russell Westbrook. The Lakers traded so many good assets for Russ. And not only that, but Russell has a huge contract. So good luck trading that. So, you know, the Lakers are going to have to think outside the box. Also, LeBron, he also needs to get into aggression mode. He is shooting a career high in three-pointers. He's shooting 8 three-pointers a game. That just shows you, Bron is not being aggressive enough. He is not taking the ball to the rim. He's just not. So that's a problem. So now you got LeBron and you have Anthony Davis, you know, just not attacking the rim, not being aggressive. That's a problem, okay? It doesn't take a nuclear physicist to figure this out, okay? Also, let me just, Anthony Davis, like I said, he's been playing horribly. He's shooting 18.8% from three. That is his lowest three-point shooting ever in any season. He's also shooting 72.2% from the free throw line. That is also his lowest. Anthony Davis needs to start being aggressive. LeBron needs to start being aggressive. You know, so they just need to get out of this autopilot mode and they need to start caring because things are not going to look good. Now, they are lucky that they are in the Western Conference and the West is not great right now. The Lakers right now, like I said, are at 500 with a 13-13 record and they're sixth in the West. So that's pretty incredible. So, but also, like I said last podcast, this whole beginning of the season has been the easy part of the Lakers' schedule. So things are going to get harder and harder and harder. So they need to pick it up. All right, that's enough Lakers. Now let's move on to another team that right now seems to be in shambles, and that team is the Portland Trailblazers. Portland is just not doing well this season. They have an 11-15 record. They're 11th in the West. CJ McCollum, unfortunately, we just got some bad news for him about 2 days ago. He has a collapsed lung, so he is out indefinitely. So that's just adding fuel to the fire to this just bad season for the Blazers. Also, Damian Lillard, it's no secret, he is not playing well. He's shooting 39.7% from the field. That's his lowest ever. He is shooting 30.2% from three, his lowest ever. His efficient field goal percentage is 47.1%, his lowest ever. And he's shooting 4.5 free throw attempts per game. That's his second lowest ever. So this is just a bad season for Dame. Obviously, look, Dame, he wants to stay in Portland. I have no doubts about it. But this team needs to shake things up, because Dame is not going to stay here if they stay like this. And, you know, when you're not happy, when you're not feeling motivated, you're not going to play well. So obviously, I'm going to say that that's a big reason why he's not playing well. Now, Lillard right now does have an abdominal injury. He's been having it since the Olympics. Actually, before that, but it's been really apparent since the Olympics, and then just through this whole season, he has just not been healthy. So that's another reason why he's not playing well. But, you know, you add those two together, it's just not good. Also, Chauncey Billups, the new head coach for the Blazers, he is visibly frustrated. He keeps calling out his team to the media. You know, he's saying that these guys have no pride, that there's, I mean, telling your team that they have no pride, that is not good. Chauncey Billups is an incredible basketball mind. This is his first head coach job, so I really hope that the Blazers turn it around, because I really do want to see Billups be successful. But yeah, this team just does not look motivated at all. Also, to, like I said, add fuel to the fire, the general manager, Neil O'Shea, fired. That was almost a week ago now. So, yeah, there's just so much going on in Portland. It's not even funny. Also, this summer, after this season, Damian Lillard is looking for a 2-year, $105 million extension. So after this season, he's going to have 3 years left, and then he's looking for another extension. So basically, for the next 5 years, he's going to be making $50 million a year. Now, on one hand, it's a good thing that Dame is wanting to sign this extension, because obviously Portland would have their star player. Now, this is also bad, because this can hurt their, if they do decide to trade Damian Lillard, this could affect it, because some teams aren't going to want to pay. Look, Dame is 31 years old. Paying Dame $50 million for the next 5 years, I don't know. I would feel a little bit uneasy about that. So, yeah, that I don't know. Portland has a lot of things to think about. Also interesting. Also, with the general manager fired, how much power does this front office have to make trades? How much power does this front office have to make big decisions? So that's another problem. So they need to get a general manager quick. Another thing, the Blazers ownership. Remember, Paul Allen used to own this team from Microsoft. He was worth billions and billions. Now, his wife is in charge. Now, also, she's not even making the Blazers a priority, because right now she is trying to work out her 20-plus billion-dollar estate. Listen to the things that she is worrying about right now. She's trying to get money right now. Right now, she's worried about managing her $20 billion estate. This is all from Brian Windhorst here. They have 25 different estates all over the world. They have one in Hawaii worth $43 million. They have a house in the Bay Area worth $35 million. They have two homes in Los Angeles. One is $55 million. Another one is $95 million. Georgia O'Keeffe, the writer, they have her old house, which is worth $22 million. They have two yachts. One yacht is $325 million. So again, how much of a priority is Blazers ownership really putting on the Blazers? So that is something to be worried about if you're a Blazers fan. So just a lot to think about just between the Lakers and the Blazers. Now, we still have more teams to go, but let's take a quick break right now. Let's take a listen. Let's just listen real quick to our listeners. But yeah, let's just take a quick break. Just air things out right now because, like I said, there's a lot going on in the NBA, a lot of chaos. So let's just calm down a little bit and let's listen to our sponsors real quick. All right, welcome back, NBA fans. Also, I just want to give a heads up. My voice is going in and out, so that's why I may sound a little different. But anyways, let's go back. So another team that right now is struggling, we have the New York Knicks. Right now, the New York Knicks are not doing so well. They currently have a 12-13 record. Which, if you remember, I talked about the Lakers. They're at 500. They have a 13-13 record, and they're sixth in the West. Not so much on the East. New York has a 12-13 record, so they're only one game below 500, but they're 11th in the East. So it's a big difference. But yeah, Coach Tibbs right now is so frustrated with his team, especially the starters. They are just not having good numbers at all. The New York Knicks actually have the worst starting lineup in the NBA. RJ Barrett is not shooting well. He's shooting 22% from three. Last season, he shot over 40%. So he is just not doing it. He has had a couple games where he scored 30-plus points. But, you know, they need more than that. They need consistency, and he is not bringing it. So much that Coach Tibbs actually has called RJ Barrett out to the media. He was talking to the media, and he actually said that RJ Barrett just needs to hit the gym because he is just not doing it. So clearly frustrated. Now, the Knicks defense is also not good. As we know, Coach Thibodeau is a defensive-minded coach, just like Frank Vogel. Now, a reason why he's so frustrated is last season, the Knicks were fourth in defense. This season, the Knicks are 24th. So just not good. You know, Julius Randle as well, he is not playing at his best. Last season, he had almost like a Cinderella story. It was incredible. He was almost like Mr. Triple-Double. But this season, not so much. So he's kind of come back down to earth. But yeah, he's another guy that needs to pick it up. And you know, this season's Knicks, they're just not built for defense. And it's apparent, you know, two major acquisitions that the Knicks had. Obviously, Reggie Bullock, he left. He's in the Mavericks. So they lost that defense and that three-point shooting. And they did add Evan Fournier and Kemba Walker. As I said, the Knicks, their starting lineup is trash. And Evan Fournier is part of that, and he is not playing well. He is not known for his defense, but he is also not playing well tonight. Now, if you look at his stats, you would say, oh, well, he's actually playing pretty good, but he's not. You know, it's just not translating onto the court. So much so that Coach Thibodeau has actually not played him in whole fourth quarters a couple games this season. Also, Kemba Walker, he has just, after his first, you know, good couple games this season, he is just not doing it. And so much so that Coach Thibodeau has actually just taken him out of the rotation. He is indefinitely on the bench. Now, if you remember, he is making $8 million. So, you know, not a good acquisition there. Also, Julius Randle is really frustrated. The last game that they played, he was furious with the referees because he says that he keeps getting fouled, but that he doesn't get the calls. And he said that, like I said, to the referees, he said that. And the refs told him that they're not calling the fouls because he's too strong. Now, obviously, that just enraged Julius Randle so much that he got a technical on during that game. And then post-game, he was just complaining. Coach Thibodeau was furious at the fact that the ref said that. So just chaos right now. Everything is not good in New York, and they really need to turn things around. Now, staying in New York, but going over to Brooklyn, you know, they're doing well, but they don't feel like it. Now, as I say that, they have a 17-8 record, and they're actually the first seed in the East. So, you know, when I'm saying that they're not doing that great, it's actually pretty incredible because they're first in the seed. They're first in the East, excuse me. Injuries have been a problem. Kevin Durant has been incredible. He is a MVP candidate. I would say Steph Curry is clearly number one when it comes to MVP. But Kevin Durant is clearly number two. James Harden is still struggling. You know, now he has good numbers. You know, he's scoring over 20 points a game. He's averaging 9.5 assists, about 8 rebounds. So it looks good, but it just doesn't feel like it when you watch the game. And, you know, he does have games where he'll have 30 points or a triple-double, and you're like, okay, that looks good. But just this season is just not looking good for James. You know, he just looks a step slow, and it's just not the James Harden that we're used to. Now, this is possibly still a hamstring issue, but kind of odd that it's taken him this long. I mean, he got this hamstring issue right around the playoffs. So it's been, 6 months? So that's a problem. Kyrie Irving is obviously still not playing, and I don't think that we'll be seeing him anytime soon. New York City, they just had another vaccine mandate, you know, requiring that everyone has to be double vaccined. Obviously, Kyrie is not for the vaccine right now, so we are more than likely not going to see him this season. Now, another thing is that Kevin Durant, like I said, he's playing amazing, but he's also playing really, really big minutes. He's playing over 40 minutes a game, basically in every game. And not just him, so is James Harden. And, you know, it's early in the season. So Kevin Durant and James Harden should not be playing these minutes, especially, like I said, Harden is struggling. He doesn't look to be at 100%, obviously. And then, you know, Kevin Durant, knock on wood, you know, he did have that ACL tear, that Achilles, you know, a couple years ago. So it's just scary. You know, I can't imagine Nets fans how nervous they must be sometimes watching Kevin Durant. But like I said, he's playing absolutely amazing. But still, over 40 minutes a game, every game, that's just not good. So that is it for the Nets. Now, let me just talk a little bit about Nikola Jokic. He has been incredible. Now, the Nuggets have been struggling. They have had so many injuries. Jamal Murray is obviously still injured. Michael Porter Jr., he is out indefinitely, saying that he's going to need back surgery, which is just scary. You know, he was projected to be a top draft pick, and he fell all the way to 13th in the draft. And, you know, it was because of his back. So also his siblings, who are in, obviously not in the NBA, but other leagues, they also have injury problems. So it's just not looking good. And back surgery is never a comforting thing to hear. So it's a big possibility he may not be back this season. So that's a problem. Now, here's an interesting thing. The Nuggets, with Jokic on the court, they're a top three offense and a top three defense. With Jokic off the court, the Nuggets are bottom three in offense, and they are the worst defensive team in the league. So that is just amazing. Jokic, his defensive improvement has been outstanding. He has some of the best numbers in the NBA. So he's another MVP candidate. Now, the last team that I want to talk about are the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks are, as you guys know, I am a Mavs fan. But this has been so just frustrating. Reportedly, Luka Doncic, he came to training camp at 260 pounds. That is unacceptable, and I don't know how he did it. You know, he obviously was in the playoffs, and then from the playoffs, he went straight to Slovenia to play for the national team. And then after the Olympics, he only had about 3 weeks where he was just relaxing, not playing. And in those 3 weeks, he seemed to gain 30 pounds. I mean, how does he do that? But yeah, the Mavericks are 12-12. They're sixth in the Western Conference. They're just getting no production from Tim Hardaway Jr. Shout out to Kristaps Porzingis, though. He has looked really good this season when he plays. He has missed about 8 games. But when he plays, he's looked great. For the most part, he's actually scored, you know, majority of the time. He's scored at least 20 points. So that's good. But still, like I said, Tim Hardaway Jr. not playing well. You know, no one is hitting shots. Right now, their best three-point shooter is Dorian Finney-Smith. Now, like I said, I'm a Mavs fan, and I am one of Dorian's biggest fans. But Dorian cannot be our best three-point shooter. He just can't. Reggie Bullock, we signed him at $10 million. He has just been a no-show. Now, there is evidence that Reggie Bullock basically sucks at shooting threes the first couple months into the season. Now, once December rolls around, that is when Reggie Bullock catches fire, and then by the end of the season, he'll finish shooting above 40% from three. Now it's December. Last game, he did make 4 three-pointers. So hopefully he starts contributing and helping Luka a little bit. But it's been a mess. Sterling Brown hasn't made shots. Maxi Kleba has regressed shooting-wise. You know, Dwight Powell, he is probably, if not the biggest, he's one of the biggest frustrations when it comes from a fan standpoint. Look, power to him. He cares. He hustles, but he just doesn't have a high basketball IQ. So that hurts. Now, the Mavs' other big is Willie Cauley-Stein. He is literally the worst basketball player I have ever seen. I am not even exaggerating. I'm not joking. He's awful. For one, he looks like he doesn't care. Two, he's not exactly a hustle guy. Three, he is just making, well, I was going to say something not so nice, but he just makes so many mistakes. It's incredible. Now the Mavs do have Moses Brown. He has played a little bit more here in these last two games. This last game, he played 9 minutes. He had 9 points. He had six, or excuse me, 9 points, 7 rebounds. He had 2 blocks. So that was really nice to see. But yeah, like I said, Mavs shooting has been awful. They really need a big guy, other than Kristaps. Luka Doncic, like I said, is not in shape. So it's just not looking good. Now, shout out to Jalen Brunson. He has looked good this season. But I have said this numerous times. Jalen Brunson cannot be the Mavs' second best player. He just can't. And unfortunately, right now, Jalen Brunson is the only other guy other than Luka Doncic that can create his own shot. And not only that, he's the only other guy that can create shots for others. And that's not good. Look, I love Jalen Brunson, but he's like 5'10". So anytime the Mavs play a team with any sort of length, he is just not good. He just can't get to the basket. Now, Jalen Brunson is an excellent mid-range shooter. He's a good three-point shooter. But yeah, when he can't get to the basket, he, for the most part, is not a very good player. He doesn't produce very well when he doesn't get to the basket. And also another thing, the Mavs didn't offer him an extension. So this summer, you know, they're going to have to make a decision. Are they going to pay Jalen or is he going to go? Now, the problem with that is, look, I love Jalen Brunson. I really do. But I have been saying this for the last couple weeks. The Mavs need to trade Jalen Brunson. For one, the Mavs have really no good trade assets. So if you can trade Jalen Brunson or package him in some sort of a deal, that can make the value of the Mavericks trade package a lot higher. Now, second, like I said, the Mavericks, they have to decide if they're going to pay him. The Mavs are notorious for overpaying players. Now, like I said, I love Jalen, but he cannot be our second best player. He cannot be the guy after Luka. He cannot be the second guy who can get his own shot and create shots. That's just not good. Not a guy at 5'10". So I think the Mavericks need to trade Jalen. I think that they need to package him. I think that the Mavericks need to trade Tim Hardaway Jr. And see what you can get. The Mavs have had the same starting lineup for the last 3 years. Now, shout out to Mavs Moneyball and Kirk Henderson at Mavs Moneyball. I have been on his podcast numerous times in group therapy, and I have been talking to him, and we're just frustrated. You know, we want this team to do something, make a trade, be aggressive. Listen, in the 2000s, before 2010, the Mavs, well, really before 2011, the Mavericks were always such an aggressive team. You always heard about them being involved in trades and stuff like that. The Mavs, ever since winning the championship, have not been that aggressive team anymore. And another thing, Luka Doncic, yeah, he signed his $205 million extension this last offseason. But the problem is, right now, he's not being paid that. His big extension doesn't go into effect till next season. So right now, we already have no cap space. We're already paying Kristaps Porzingis around $38 million a year. Luka's going to be making about $40 million in his first year. I mean, that's already close to $80 million of our cap space. And then imagine if they overpay Jalen Brunson. That's going to be almost $100 million invested in just Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis, Jalen Brunson. Oh, yeah, and don't forget Tim Hardaway Jr.'s $18 million a year. That's $120 million. Well, let's tone it back. That's around $110 million between four players. And that's not a good team. As much as I hate to say it, the Mavericks are not a good team right now. The Mavericks have Luka freaking Doncic, and the Mavs are boring. The Mavs are boring to watch. They're not exciting. They don't look like they're having fun. I mean, how do you manage to make a Luka Doncic led team look boring? And don't even get me started on Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban, yesterday, it was either yesterday or the day before, he went to Twitter and he started complaining about Mavs Twitter, saying that Mavs Twitter is not real fans, blah, blah, blah. Mark Cuban, listen to me. Mavs Twitter, we are the real fans. Mark Cuban thinks that the real fans are those people that go to the Mavericks games to take selfies, and then they have to Google what player this is or what player that. Those are not real fans. Mark Cuban has such a fragile ego that he thinks that anyone who gives the Mavericks any sort of criticism are not fans. Bullshit. We are the biggest. If you go listen to group therapy, you will go on Mavs Moneyball, you will listen to every single fan be frustrated, calling out Mark Cuban, saying how incompetent he is and how fragile his ego is and how he just doesn't want to admit that he's wrong. This has been the same starting lineup for 3 years. Hey, Mark Cuban, insanity? Have you ever heard of it? That's doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And guess what? Ever since the 2011 championship, the Mavericks haven't won a single playoff round. We just got Luka Doncic in 2018. We got so lucky we got Luka Doncic. Literally, we went from Dirk and we transitioned right into Luka Doncic, two generational players. And Mark Cuban is about to fuck this up. Luka Doncic likes winning. Luka Doncic has no sensitivity, no emotional ties to the city of Dallas. Now, does he love Dallas? Yes. Has he said that he loves Dallas? Yes. But he has no emotional ties. If he starts sucking, if the team starts sucking, why would Luka want to stay here? To lose? Luka, ever since he was a kid, ever since he became a professional in Europe at the age of 14, he has been winning. He won the MVP the year that we drafted him. He was playing with adults from the age of 14. So Luka does not like to lose. So, you know, Luka's not going to put up with this shit. And, you know, everyone's saying, well, in 2 years, you know, in 2 years, Luka, the Mavs, if they don't fix it, and if 2 years pass and Luka sees that we're not winning, he's going to want to demand a trade. Bullshit. I think he's going to demand a trade this offseason if he sees that the Mavs don't even make any moves or anything. They show no effort to want to improve this team. Why would Luka stay here? So the Mavericks need to really get it together, because this is a problem. You know, and Luka, Mark Cuban is literally going to run him out of the city of Dallas, and that would be criminal. So the Mavericks really need to change things up. Now, yes, they did get a new head coach. Yes, they did get rid of the general manager. And yes, they did get rid of Harlebob, which apparently, according to the Mavs front office, he was the one causing problems. But the more and more I listen to Harlebob and everything that he says about the Mavericks organization, it's the Mavericks organization that's dysfunctional, causing all these problems. It wasn't Harlebob. You know, Donnie Nelson, during the 2020 draft, he apparently got so butthurt with with Harlebaugh, you know, they got into an argument. Donnie Nelson, he walked out of the draft room. That's a fireable offense. This, how do you walk out in the middle of a draft? So that's the type of thing that I'm talking about for with the Mavs. You know, I love the Mavericks. I'm their number one fan. I literally cry anytime that I, you know, rewatch the 2011 championship clips and stuff like that. But, you know, we need to get it together because Luka is not going to stay here for mediocrity. So, we'll see. Like I said, December 15th is when trades are able to start. But yeah, like I said, the Mavericks, in my opinion, they need to trade Jalen Brunson. They need to trade Tim Hardaway Jr. If they can get a good return for Kristaps Porzingis, look, I love Kristaps. I really do. I have been a big defender of Kristaps. But if we can get something in return, we got to pull the trigger on that. So, but anyways, typical, like I said, last 3 years, this is the same starting lineup. It's incredible. So yeah, that is the NBA chaos going on. It's incredible. So many teams right now are just not doing well. But anyways, all right, guys. So that is it for this episode. I want to just thank you all. Like I said, the Big Shot blog is in the making. I'm shooting for the end of January, but we'll see. I will definitely keep you guys updated. As always, please hit us up on Twitter. Our Twitter is at the Big Shot Pod. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, shoot us a direct message, mention us, whatever you got to do to get our attention, please do. And we will answer your questions or address anything that you ask us here on the next episode. Again, our Twitter is at the Big Shot Pod. So yeah, if you are a fan of any of the teams that we just spoke about, I hope that you're not too depressed. And hopefully your team turns it around. I sure do hope mine does. But anyways, all right, guys. So again, thank you so much for listening. Again, our Twitter is at the Big Shot Pod. Any questions, comments, concerns? And yeah, and thank you guys again so much for listening. And real quick, I just wanted to say, you know, like I said, I'm in the middle of making the Big Shot blog. It's really in response because, you know, I just started this podcast right before the playoffs last year. So it hasn't even been a full season since I've made the podcast. And I have honestly been overwhelmed by the amount of support that the podcast has gotten. I did not expect to have so many listeners. So thank you so much. And yeah, like I said, hopefully I stay on track with the Big Shot blog. Hopefully it comes out for when I'm shooting for, like I said, at the end of January. But I'm making it in response to the support that you guys have given. So I just want to say thank you for that. And hopefully the blog, you know, satisfies everyone's NBA needs. But yeah, like I said, I will keep you guys all posted on the blog. I will definitely let you know when it comes out. But yeah. All right, guys. So that was tonight's depressing episode of NBA Chaos. But all right, so I will talk to you. Today is Friday. So I will be talking to you next week around Tuesday. But again, thank you so much, guys, for listening. As always, I am your host, Chaba Baja, and thank you for listening to the Big Shot Blog. You guys all have a great night.